Welcome to Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Kurukh medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Floreen McCovey. This episode is called High Country Voices.
High Country Voices. The two types of voices that I hear are completely different. In the case of Auntie speaking to me telepathically, that voice just talks directly into your mind. You think someone's talking to you. It is just a voice in English in your mind, and you can comprehend it. I don't like to say that it's a voice in your mind because that makes you sound like you're nuts, but it's a voice that comes to you from inside your mind. The voice tells you the damnedest things sometimes. The voices that I hear in the high country sound like talking in tongues, and in order to understand what has been said to me, I go into a trance, and when I come out of it, I know things that I hadn't known before. People who are not medicine people cannot hear these voices. They go to the medicine site near here and want to build a house there. They will say, "This is the prettiest place in the world." Daryl always wanted to build a house there, and it was about 4 feet from the crossroads. It feels good there. It just feels good there. People get there and they start saying what a nice place it is. It is a good feeling spot. It's like the Druids' ceremonial places where they said they felt good, and I'll be damned if the Christians didn't come and build churches on them. They didn't know that those were the Druids' place for sure, but they put a church there right where the Druids thought was spiritual. And here they would try to put a house at those places. There's nothing that stops people from building houses on spiritual places here. But if they do, or they build it too close to the spiritual place, they feel that there are ghosts walking in their house. Even that small trailer on this place is too close to the crossroads. It wasn't too close for me, but it was too close for other people. It is better to take as few people as possible with you to Elk Valley, because when you go out there, the people who are with you get euphoric, and you, the medicine person, feel euphoric too. But it seems like you have a little more control because the power is focusing on you. But people with you are always dancing in the daisies or something. You just wonder, what in the hell are they going to do next? Sonny had been euphoric, and the dream of elk approaching him brought him back to reality, because he was a hunter. He became euphoric about hunting possibilities. When Long Gone went to the valley, he became euphoric about getting gambling power, because he was a gambler. Bianca became euphoric, and she was going to look for love, and Kogi actually was more stable than he is here at home. He was a lot more stable there in the valley and more down to business in keeping his mind on what we were doing than he is when he's home. He was down to business. He just tended to business when he was in Elk Valley. When we got back to Orleans, we stopped at the dance pit to leave off the medicine we had made, because I wasn't going to pack it around with me for the next 2 or 3 days until the dance was made. Even though the medicine is not a physical thing, we placed it in the pit as if it was an actual object. I just threw in the medicine that I had made. Then Kogi stepped up and said, "I'm going to do mine dramatically." He stamped his foot and he threw his medicine down like he was throwing down a lightning bolt. Then Bianca just put her medicine down like I had. Just put it there like you threw a little bundle down. And then, even though it didn't make any sense to him, Sonny threw his medicine in too. I told him, "Whatever medicine you picked up there, you have to give it to the dance. It belongs here. It doesn't go with us." I said, "If you take it with you, Sonny, you'll pay for it. If you keep anything for yourself, you pay for it. You have to give it all back to the dance." That's what you are doing when you throw your medicine into the dance pit. You're getting the medicine for the people, and you give it to the people. When we came down from Elk Valley, we learned that the girl who was supposed to be the medicine girl had gotten into an argument with a medicine man and never came out. And we learned that other people had not done anything to prepare for the dance with Sunny gone. It was a great big muddle, I thought. Well, if it's going to work, it will. And if it's not going to work, it won't. I'm ready for it. I don't care what. Daryl insisted on coming out to the valley every single day because he didn't want me to make a mistake. I told him I wouldn't make a mistake. But he was afraid I would. And to make a mistake means death for someone in your family. It's like God has given you a little recipe. And you do what they tell you to do, step by step, and you end up with a cake. Everything with the dance worked out all right. And then the next day I rested and could have a little acorn water. Then I fasted again from Friday night until Sunday morning. No water. No acorn water, no food, no nothing. On Saturday, I went out again and picked medicine plants and made medicine. When I made medicine on this side of the river, the bird who was guiding me took me along and landed in a place on a landslide where I couldn't go. So I just went up the hill a little ways to a place where I could make the medicine. The bird kept showing me a place to go where I couldn't go in this form. A few days before, when I had gone up the hill to make my medicine for the brush dance, a little bird flew right at the truck. It didn't come when I had gone to Elk Valley just for myself to cleanse my soul. He flew down and hopped and flew and hopped along the road ahead of us all the way into the valley, like he led us into the valley. I don't even remember what kind of bird it was. But it was grayish with white on it. Then when I made medicine on this side of the river, the bird went out and just hung in the air over where the slide dropped into the river. Evidently, there had been land there at one time, but it had slid away. I didn't know if I was supposed to go out into the edge of the slide, out over the river, and that confused me a little, so I just went up the hill to where I was out of sight and made the medicine there. No one told me that the bird was going to guide me to the place to make medicine. I just knew that. What the bird was doing was divine guidance, letting me know what I was supposed to do. But there was no place to go. I looked, and the bird was just hanging out over the water about 20 feet from the bank. And I was no bird. So I made do and laughing and made the medicine a little farther back from the river. After the medicine was made and placed in the pit, I got to stay in my house during the day, but at night I had to go out and sleep in the pickup truck because I couldn't stay in the same house with my husband. A friend came over and said that she had not seen me, and I told her I was in seclusion because once you make your medicine, you're not supposed to be out in public. People can come and see you at home, but not many, because you have withdrawn from people. That way, you don't give any of the power of the dance away to someone. If someone came and had a great need, you might give some of it up. That's my thought on it. Then the dance started and I quit eating. The medicine man said I could eat, but I didn't eat anything. I had just had about a pint of acorn water on Wednesday morning. Then I went out and gathered the medicine plants and made medicine for the little girl who was going to be my medicine girl. What herbal medicines you collect depends on what you're doctoring the child for in the brush dance. You're not going to use the same medicines for a child whose parents feel it needs protecting as you would for a child who is sick all the time. The voices told me to go to Le Perron Flat to gather the plants I needed. Everything was there except the dandelion, and it was dried up, So the medicine man brought me some fresh dandelion from his yard. When I'd gotten all the plants, I made my medicine, praying and burning these plants in a little fire. Different people burn different plants for different purposes. I was doing a brush dance, so I gathered and burned brush dance plants. I made my medicine, said my prayers, talked to the Creator, and then went down and did the dance.
Listen again to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is called The Pink Rosy Glow. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, The Stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Laura Cooper.